You ready, Colin?
Yep.
Okay, here we go.
Podcasting from the Sportique Studios, where we put the 104.3 The Fan in fantasy football. This is the South Stands Denver Fancast.
Yeah!
I'm Colin Daniels with producer Scott Stafford.
Ah!
From footballguys.com, denversports.com, and The Fan, Big Max himself, Cecil. And your host, John
Yes.
I can't make the music louder. It's as loud as it goes.
Don't make it louder. We can't hear. We're loving it, but don't make it louder. Welcome back, everybody. Yes. South Stands Denver Fancast. Woo. It is wonderful to be here with you. And it is wonderful to have our good friend. It's been a long time since we've had him in here, but he is he was a frequent guest when we did this more often. Cecil Lammy, everybody.
Oh, my God. Here we are.
Wow. Wonderful to see you, Cecil. Cecil, we love you. Thank you for coming
back. And way less of
Cecil. There's
almost a Cecil in here.
Yeah, let me finish. You said Big Mac, so more like Juan Wick, I like to prefer these days. I was trying to think of the last time I was here, so I'm like both joyful and also kind of pissed off. Because I'd see Roydy like tweeting about something, right? And I'd see you turn. And I think I even reached out to you one time. I was like, "Why? Get me on the show." And you're like, "Oh, we're not doing the show." And I was like, "Why aren't you doing the show?" So I like love you guys. I'm so happy to be here, but I'm also pissed because there's someone else who's been on more than me. I don't know who it is. I'm sorry.
Snyder.
Snyder. You. And by the way, he calls. If you thought he messed my name up, he calls me Roydy because that one time he came to the fantasy draft and I was in much better shape.
You're like jacked.
Flexing, and I was flexing. And he said he called me Roydy. Yeah. That's his name.
I thought it was because you had hemorrhoids.
Well, I do. He inspected those before that. That was before that. When he named that. So, but no, it's great to have you. You were on the 18th show. That was your first appearance.
Okay,
which was probably in 2011, maybe early 2012.
So that was ESPN Denver days.
Yes. Yeah, so quite a while ago, and I forgot to look it up, but you've had, I want to say, like 8 appearances. I know I can look it up. I'll look it up during the break.
I have to be number one. So if that means I'm on like 3 weeks in a row, I don't
let's
care.
Do it.
You're going to have to be on.
Like, I must be number one.
You might just have to be on every week from here on out to get that.
How long
that
have you been with FBG now?
Oh, since 2005.
Jeez.
Since we started podcasting, I tell the story, it always makes young people laugh. I started podcasting with Sigma Bloom 18 years ago. The Audible still going strong. Thank you for taking showers to me.
Yes.
I recorded it on a cassette. Sig was on speakerphone. I took the cassette. I put it on my home stereo, put it on a CD. I took the CD and I put it on my computer. I put it from the computer as an MP3 up into our servers for Football Guys because I told them in 2005, I said, I can do an internet radio show. I was on the air for 2 years.
Internet radio show.
I can do an internet radio show. And they're like, what is that? I was like, it's the next thing. And so Sigma and I started podcasting before there was even
the word podcast. Or an iPod.
Yeah. Right.
People forget the word podcast comes from iPod.
Which now are no longer in existence.
I've got a click wheel iPod, and I still have a ton of music on it.
Oh, yeah.
And I still use it.
Still works.
160 gig. It's fucking sweet. I love that thing.
How much, and I already know it's a lot, but how much has the fantasy, you broke in kind of in the fantasy vein, and how much has the fantasy game changed? Now it's like when you started, you were like, I love fucking football. I love fantasy football. I want to talk about this. Now it's like a legitimate career for people. Is that wild to have it go from where you started to how you see it now?
Yeah, it's wild. It's crazy. And it's changed for sure because everyone has information. Right. When I was talking about targets with Dave Logan on KOA years ago, and Dave was like tripped out, like, what is that? And I'm like, it's how many times guys thrown at. Now we're all just like, I fucking know everybody's targets.
Oh,
right?
Targets are constant.
Targets are easy.
Yeah, targets are like, you hear that, like even like on like the broadcast where they're still complaining about analytics, they're talking about targets.
Yes, they're talking about targets. Yeah. I know how many times you're thrown at, fellas, so I am a fantasy football expert. So it's changed that way to where everyone has information. So it comes down to, I really think, community. And I think knowing ball, like when you hear Matt Waldman talk, you know he knows ball, so it's my job to watch every game twice, chart plays, just know ball. It doesn't mean I'm going to be right about everything. It doesn't mean I'm – because too many fantasy shows get, like, number-driven. Well, they're facing the 31st pass defense in the league, and then Cortland Sutton is number two in the league when it comes to slant. It's like, I'm bored. I'm already bored. You already lost me. So a lot of fantasy analysts have become that, which is bad for the industry. And then there's, like, a cool kids club, which I am certainly not a part of because, one, I'm old, and two, I started this thing. So it's like – that also is kind of fun to watch just as an outsider, because it's all these kids trying to be in the cool kids club for fantasy. It's like, well, you don't know ball. You have to know ball to begin with, to start with. And I guess I sound like get off my lawn thing, but like that's the way the fantasy industry is now.
Well, is that where the maths come into play, where there's so much analytics? And I like analytics. Whenever and did I say analytics or lickets? What did I say?
You said anal.
You like whippets?
Anal whippets. When they say that, they go, well, the analytics says you should. I'm like, just stop. Don't even say that on the broadcast. You guys sound
Al Michaels.
Yeah, I'm like, don't even say it. It sounds so dumb. I enjoy that stuff. I know it can go too far. I've listened to some. There's like some guys, and they're like real smart people, and they're breaking it down to crazy statistics, but then they'll never take a stand on anything. They'll never go, and this is why I think Tony Pollard's going to score this many points. They'll never say it, and that drives me nuts. Because, like, if you've got the fucking math to back it up, buddy, let's hear it. Let's hear it. And they never do it.
Well, and you guys all know fantasy like the back of your hand. It is about taking a stand. And, it means you're going to be right. It's going to mean you're going to be wrong. So, and also, don't run from it when you're wrong, because too many people – I see too many young fantasy analysts who are like, I told you about this player, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, calm down, buddy. You didn't talk about him first. Matt Waldman probably did. And then the other thing I see is when someone's wrong, when I'm wrong, you're going to hear about it. Jahan Dotson, right? How many times have I cried about him on the Audible this year? Like, but when you're wrong, don't run from it. Don't, like, highlight it necessarily, but also just know that, and that's what's great about football. Nobody, I can feel confident in saying this, nobody watches more football than I do, and I'm still wrong. Like, it is a moving target, right?
It's an oblong ball. How do you know it's going to fucking land the right way? There's always going to be something, right?
Right.
So something's going to go screwy.
Right.
We see it every week. So.
And then ultimately, you have to predict game flow. And sometimes the games don't go how you think they're going to go.
Somebody goes down early. You know, Justin Herbert gets hurt, and all of a sudden the Chargers are completely different offensively because Easton's 6-in. So there's all those variables, but it's fun, man. And it's invigorating. Yeah. And still to this day, even though December is a grind, and I do get burned out this time of year, ask Sigmund, because behind the scenes I'm like, can we just fucking go? Can we get this done with, please? Like, I got stuff to do. But, like, it's still invigorating. January is usually what gets it going for me because that's the All-Star games and the Shrine game and Senior Bowl and all that.
And
of course, playoffs, wild card and Vegas, all that good stuff.
With all the analytics now, how come Vegas isn't like walking around naked with a barrel on going, oh, everyone's taking my money? Because wouldn't you assume that with all the analytics and everybody's so into the into piecing, you know, taking the games apart, why isn't Vegas taking a bath?
Yeah, I'm not a Vegas guy. You'd probably have to
I'm just
talk
saying
to Zach
gambling wise,
right? Well, and I think gambling, just from a fantasy perspective, I don't think it killed DFS, but it certainly put a damper on it.
Oh, absolutely.
We all play DFS.
I quit playing.
And now we just do prop bets.
Yeah,
it's,
I don't,
easier and it's fun.
Yeah, you can you have a better chance and of knowing kind of what you how you think it'll go than playing against, you know, 5,000 people and
right.
having.
Well, and the problem with DFS is the people that were winning at DFS were college students with algorithms and computers and 5,000 lineups. And I realized at one point I was playing, you know, DraftKings. I realized at one point I cannot be an advantage player in this.
Remember when they took that away from us because they started doing like tiered, like if you played so much or won so much, you were in a certain tier. And Peter Jennings is a friend of mine, Chatfield Chargers.
He's amazing.
He's amazing, but he's also one of those guys that throw in 200 lineups.
He's like Rams.
Yes, CSU Rams. Yeah, and
200 lineups, and then you won't even get close to
exactly. So it's like I'm gonna compete in the Millie Maker. I'm not gonna compete against Peter Jennings. So what am I doing?
No,
I'm gonna go do prop bets.
Yeah, I have a better chance of going. Hey, look, I think this game's gonna go over 38 points. That's just me against the game. It's not having to worry about anyone else. So. Yeah, it's crazy. It's changed so much, and even just since the last time you've been in here, that I think, you know, everything's been like, you know, kind of turned topsy turvy.
Are you talking about fantasy or talking about the Denver radio scene?
Well, we're gonna
all of the above.
Yeah, all the above.
Are we getting into that? I mean, we got to get into that, right?
We're gonna get into that.
Okay.
I want to get into just like some media stuff. I'm always interested in like kind of like that, like how things have changed. Mm-hmm. Just you know, what's changed for you since when you kind of broke into like the Denver market? Obviously, social media has totally changed things. Mm-hmm. The way people are receiving the broadcast has totally changed. But what's changed for you mostly?
For me, I mean, I feel kind of lucky. I get to do what I do, which is just talk about football. All due respect to all the other sports and people that have known me my whole life know me as a basketball guy, but like still like football's my job. Football is what I get to talk about. What's changed for me is I'm a digital employee now because everything's digital and everyone's on YouTube or whatever. Like that's a heavy emphasis for a lot of companies out there. There's companies that are built on digital brands and that's only going to expand. That's only going to grow. And wait till I get to tell you guys about AI and how that's going to change the sports talk landscape as well.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. That maybe there won't be any hosts anymore. It'll just be an AI.
Well,
talking
look
about-
at how music stations are being done now.
Where
it's like
sure.
not even people, really. And you don't need the disc jockeys or even maybe the morning show you still do or Ass Crack and Ballsack and all that kind of stuff. But like, yeah, no, I think AI doesn't replace humans. AI replaces humans that don't use AI. So whatever industry y'all are in, sports radio, comic books, whatever, like get used to at least having that as a tool that helps you in what you do.
Oh, I agree. I think just rejecting it out of hand is not the way to go. I think you should at least use it for what it's worth. Now, should we use it to decide whether like somebody lives or dies? I don't know. I think that might be a stretch. That's a little bit of a.
I'm on ChatGPT every day.
Are you really?
I recently had it write an outline for me for a paper, and the way I looked at it is it's like using a calculator. I mean, it's no different. It's a calculator of words.
I think one of my kids, he wrote a paper and it was pretty good. And my wife and I kept looking at each other. We're going, did you write that or is that AI? And he was like, no, I did it. And I was like,
well, the schools can upload it and find and figure it out. So they know.
You mentioned comic books and I want to talk real quick about your comic books.
I'm going to hold them up. So thank you.
So tell everybody about, because you not only are a sports reporter and deep in the football and fantasy world, but you're also a comic book impresario.
Yeah. I own my own comic book company now, which is, I probably have told you guys about my ideas along the way.
You've talked over about the it years. In the past, yes, and you were always trying to get something going, but since then, we have a physical copies of
so
things.
I was
Smokin' Gun Comics.
That's right, named after my truck, the Smokin' Gun, because I drove her without a water pump for a semester, and she would smoke everywhere, and then we would run away from it so it didn't blow up. Anyway, so I was at a comic book convention and I had all these ideas. I was Cesar Lamy and signing autographs, and Mark Schlereth was there because he's a big deal and he was signing a bunch of autographs. He took a break. He comes over to my table. He's like, Cecil, what are you doing here? I was like, I have comic books. Do you have any? No, but I mean, I have ideas. And yeah. I said, there's one that I have that I wrote with The Rock and Kevin Hart in mind. I said, Stink, you're in it as well. It is Fake Booze, the one that you guys have a hot copy of right now. Nice. That was my first Kickstarter back in January, successfully funded. Thanks everyone for supporting. So he told me before I shit my pants, and Stink got me into radio. So Stink is like the guy that gets me where I want to go. And he goes, get me a copy and I'll get it to Dwayne. So I shit my pants, and Fake Booze immediately became the first property. I have 8 IPs in total. Fake Booze, which is about a fake ghost-busting business, right? Like, it's basically 21 Jump Street meets Ghostbusters. And I pitched the movie idea to Stink. He loved it. I got him the comic book for him. I made a special cover exclusively for The Rock, which is him and Kevin Hart on it, that you can't buy because obviously I couldn't sell that. And Stink got it to him. I haven't heard anything. I don't really want to ask because I'm a little nervous.
How long ago was this?
Less than a year.
Oh, okay.
Less than a year ago.
Gotcha. So, well, that moves at a glacial pace.
And the thing is like D-Mac, who we're definitely going to talk about, he brought up years ago, and I think it was around that comic book convention. He's like, Cecil's a big nerd. He's got his own comic book. One of our listeners, Mark Torgov, who used to write for David Letterman, as we were walking in here talking about Letterman keeping the studio cold. Mark is a big listener. He lives in Hollywood. He's actually from right here in Englewood. Englewood Grand is where I go hang out with Mark when he's in town. So he's a Hollywood writer. He's got a Garfield movie coming out in, this spring.
Sweet.
He hears D-Mac, and so he contacts me. He's like, give me your comic. I heard D-Mac talk about your comic. Give me your comic. And so I sent him my comic, and he's like, this is great. Let's make it a movie. And I was like, yes, let's do that. So it's a couple of different things. One, it's me being creative, getting my comic book stories out there. And then also, two, it's to pitch to movie producers directors and studios to say, like, here's... Because whenever you pitch a good idea at a pitch meeting, they say, that's great. What else you got? Well, now when they say, what else you got, Mark can hand out comic books and be like, we have Fake Booze. It's a fake ghost-busting business. We have The Familiars. It's about being yourself. It's an animated series. We have Sue Immortal, who is a superhero that's suicidal and immortal. Like, we have all these different ideas, and now I just want to see what that can do. I already made one dream come true, so now I'm working on another dream to see if that can come true as well.
You're going to get this this movie career off the ground, and Sigmund Bloom's going to say, hey, Cecil, we got it. And you're going to be like, nope, I'm out. I'm done. I don't need this anymore. Right?
Go to your fish concert and leave me alone.
Go to your fish concert, Sigmund. That's awesome, dude. That's great. We'll bring that back, make sure we mention that again. But that is fantastic. I can't wait to read it. We got plenty more to talk about. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
The return of the South Stands Denver Fancast is fueled by Cochino Taco. With locations in Old Town Arvada, Edgewater Marketplace, and on South Downing in Inglewood. Featuring mouth-watering Mexico City-style tacos, unbelievable appetizers, burritos, enchiladas, and the famous queso burger. Let's not forget, however, the best margaritas in town and happy hour from 11 to 6 every single day. Tell them the South Stands sent you. And ask for your crunchy beef tacos, shaggy style. Can Travis Kelce live with being jobbed by the officials as long as he's being jobbed by Taylor Swift? Was it the officials that pissed off Patrick Mahomes, or was it that dumb bitch Brittany? Will the LA Chargers always be hot since they have no fans? Why did SoFi Stadium paint half its seats orange and blue? Did the Broncos break Justin Herbert's finger as revenge for the Chargers inviting fucking Philip fucking Rivers? Were they honoring Antonio Gates by having their offensive line act like a gate? And did Sean Payton bring back Bounty Gate? Are the Nuggets and Avalanche turning to the Broncos for inspiration now?
Did Russell Wilson name his new daughter Amora Princess, since Ciara already let him name their two previous daughters Dink and Dunk? Did the name Amora Princess give Cecil Lammy a badass new idea for a comic book? You have questions. We have answers. SouthStandsDenver.com, Colorado's finest internet sports talk since 1971.
Dude. It's loud as it'll go, guys. I'm telling you.
That's anthrax.
Yes, yes, that's correct.
I'm trying to get it louder, guys. There we go.
That's fine. It's good.
Scott Ian of Anthrax is married to Meatloaf's daughter.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Is she hot?
I don't know. Probably seen pictures, but
I'll ask Google.
I've told you I told you my Scott Ian story a long time ago. You may not remember.
All right,
you remember it?
No, I don't.
You. Okay, I worked at a skate shop when I was probably 17. It was right down over off like Leedsdale and right over there where the Fuddruckers, where the Buttfuckers used to
where the Buttfuckers used to be. I know the spot.
You know the spot.
Believe me.
And there was a place across the street. It's called Norman's, and it was like a dance club, and bands played there. Like Slayer played there, and it was small. I mean, it was like a tiny place.
Okay.
And Anthrax was playing, and Scott Ian came in, and to the skate shop on his own, and just was like looking around, and was like, "Hey, what's up?" And I knew who he was, but I was not into that. I was very punk rock.
Did the Billy Goat beard give it away?
He didn't. I don't think he had. It wasn't that long. It wasn't that long then. And so, I mean, we're saying this is like 1987, okay?
So punk rock, Operation Ivy, like who are we talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, yeah, you know, GBH and Black Flag and stuff, right?
Dead okay. Kennedys.
So, yeah, and so that stuff, I was like, that's metal, I'm not into that, whatever. So he came in and he's looking around, and I think he bought like some stickers or something, which I could have easily given to him, but I think I charged him anyway. And he's like,
don't you know who I am?
Yeah. He did not. He was the coolest dude ever. And he's like, hey man, we're playing a show across the street. And he goes, if you want to come by, I'll put you on the list. And I was like, yeah, I'm good. And I fucking didn't go.
Good Lord, what an asshole.
What a fucking asshole, yeah, right? Man. And so a couple years later, I'm like, yeah, the Anthrax is pretty good. I kind of like this, you know, and I kind of got into it. And I was like, what a fucking dummy. I could have went over on Scott Ian.
You could have networked with.
He requested me to come over to the show, and I could have been like, bro, let's go fucking skate. Let's do this. And just like a total douchebag, I just, a big regret. And I think I've said this on the show a couple times. I was like, I've used it as an example to my kids. I said, don't pass up opportunities. So if that fucking opportunity arises, take that opportunity, because you never know, even if it's something you're not that into, right? And then I kind of learned later that he's a real cool dude. He's a real nice guy. He's very friendly. And shit, man. Now I'm like, shit, I wish you would have hung out all day, but.
You could have been good friends by now.
Absolutely.
You could have married Meatloaf's daughter.
I could have married Meatloaf's daughter. Fuck.
Dang. Still don't know if she's hot.
What did Google say? I'm so curious.
I didn't actually.
What's Meatloaf's real name? Not Jim. Jim is the guy who wrote his songs.
Meatloaf's daughter.
I can't think. What's Meatloaf's name, Scott? Come on.
Fuck, I don't know.
It's not Meatloaf.
His last name is a day.
Who, Meatloaf?
George? His name is George.
Maybe. No, I don't know what it is. So, we're talking about people shrieking.
She's an adopted daughter.
Okay. So, because he's like a...
His name is Michael Lee Aday.
Really?
Better known as Meatloaf.
Wow, okay. I know him as... I'm trying to be clever, and I can't think of his name from that movie he was in. We remember, what's his name?
He was in the Rocky Horror.
No, Fight Club.
Meatloaf was in Fight Club?
He's the guy that dies, and they go, and they say his name over and over again, right? I don't know. Anyway, hey, speaking to people screeching, let's talk about the Chiefs.
Oh, dude. That was so great.
Dude, listen.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, my God. I had the best night after that happened. I just was like fucking living. I was living life. It was so
that
awesome.
That play was amazing.
It was amazing.
It was one of the greatest plays in the history of the NFL. But it didn't
it
count.
Was like it didn't count. So awesome. Hey, play aside, okay? Penalty aside, right? I mean, granted, that
she is hot, by the way.
Okay, I'm sure. Dude, Scott Ian's a good looking guy. He's a rock star. Come on.
But she's adopted.
Yeah, sure. It's the penalty aside. The refs, we all know the refs suck. This is nothing new.
All right.
So they're
but it was a legit penalty.
It was a legit penalty, and very much so. And you see later that he walks up before he's even set, and he kind of goes like this. So usually, right, Cecil, they line up, they look down, they point, and the
ref will acknowledge
the
you.
The ref will go, and if he's over, he'll probably kind of go, come on, get over a little bit. That's totally legit. He wasn't even set yet, and he walked up and kind of waved to him and then just fucking put his foot in the line. That aside, the meltdown from those guys from this was really crazy. And
he should have to sit out a game.
They should have been fined at the ass for that, because you can't criticize
the refs. They
still
very well might be.
I don't know. But let me ask you guys. That just shows there's cracks in that armor, right? That they would freak out that bad. They've not had a good season, and the second something doesn't go their way, a couple things haven't gone their way, they freak out, right?
How many AFC championships in a row? Literally, how many AFC championships in a row?
Have they had?
Two? Yeah.
Look it up. It's more than two, right?
In
AFC
a row?
Championships in a row. They haven't won them all, obviously.
Sure, sure.
But the Pat Mahomes outrage was not over that play. Roydy, you are right on the money, because it's more about the entire season. That's a team I'm very close to. That's a team where people wonder, is the relationship with Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce real? I don't know if you guys want to journey down that rabbit hole.
I believe it's real.
We're gonna journey down that rabbit hole later. But let's stick to the Chiefs for now.
Yes.
So, for the record, three of the last four they've had.
So, and that's the cracks that you speak of. That's the cracks that Mahomes feels, because he didn't have anybody to throw to other than Travis Kelce. So it's, and with Isaiah Pacheco banged up, like, they're just not good and not where they need to be. So yeah, that frustration, which was embarrassing and humiliating for Chiefs fans, it's because their season is teetering.
Oh, absolutely. But just to have, like, you look at them and you go, man, they're so successful. They're so good. Okay, they won two Super Bowls. That's pretty damn good. But, like, to have that big of a freak out over something like that, to me, just speaks volumes as to, like, what's really going on.
I think the reason Mahomes freaked out as badly as he did is because that play was so fucking dope.
Oh, it was great. But
you
know what?
It was dope.
Think about all the awesome plays that have been called back from a penalty. You can't let it count because it was awesome, right? So there's a lot of awesome plays. That totally aside, the fact that they keyed in on that, and Andy Reid, who's like a well-respected coach, was like, oh, this is embarrassing.
It's an embarrassment
to
the NFL.
Come on, dude. No. They've gotten so many fucking calls. They've gotten so many things break their way. They get bailed out all the time. Now, we're all Broncos fans. I know you're not originally you're a Steelers fan, so maybe you're not taking as much glee as I am from it, but it is awesome because we've had...
Oh, that was the second week in a row.
Oh, yeah.
That was the second week in a row they got fucking jobbed by the refs.
Oh, no. They didn't get jobbed the week before. Everything... Hey, look, it all happens to everybody, right? Everybody gets screwed, and then you have something go your way, right? They just happen to have something legitimately go wrong at a very crucial time.
Well, you guys are all Broncos fans, but I'll speak for the national perspective. Everyone has Chiefs fatigue. Everyone, I get it. Enough, buddy, enough. Josh Allen, I have Josh Allen fatigue, even though I love him, and there's some behind-the-scenes stuff. Like, he needs to focus on football and not all the damn commercials and the celebrity and all those things that go with it.
Same with Mahomes.
Of being an NFL quarterback. But when I see a Mahomes commercial, I go, he's got hardware. You know, I see a Josh Allen commercial, I'm like, it's like the Baker Mayfield. Who has live
Justin,
TV?
Justin Herbert.
Exactly.
I see him on commercials all the time. I'm like, bro.
And Herbert is, one, an introvert, which I think is kind of cool. You know, some people held it against him in the pre-draft process because he only, like, hangs out with his brother. He's very introverted. He's not, like, Mr. Celebrity or whatever. So it's interesting to see him in commercials. But, like, yeah, I think the nation has Chiefs fatigue. Part of it might be Taylor Swift. Part of it's just them being obnoxiously good. And Pat Mahomes, who we saw it from John Elway. Can I say that? Sure. Pat Mahomes, we've never seen this before. Yeah, we did. 1985. John Elway.
And Mahomes is great. Don't get me wrong. And he was, up to this point, very easy to root for. It was always like, God, I wish he was on a different team. I wish he went to the Bears or something like that. he's fantastic, but it is, you do get sick of it after a while. And of course, here in Denver, they've dominated the Broncos for so long up until this year. And so it's one of those things. But I think those guys aside, because you know what, they're just playing their game. They, you know, I understand what the pressures are with that. But for fans, you see their fans totally lose it and try to process this. And it's so awesome because when the Patriots suddenly got good, when they got Tom Brady, they all went from the lovable losers to just these monsters. And it was just like, oh God, now we got to suffer through this. I think the Chiefs fans are worse. I think they're worse because I think that they don't know how to handle it. Does that make sense?
Well, they suffered for so long, right?
Right.
Like before this era, Chiefs were in the Super Bowl, what, like the first one, the second one? Len Dawson smoking a cigarette on the sideline.
I think Lyndon Johnson was still president, yes.
So I would assume, being a Chiefs fan, you would think they would have like 5-6 championships from this, and it's all deteriorating, and it's like, two? Is that all we get?
But is that all they're going
to
get?
No. They'll reinvent themselves because they have Brett Veach. You have to have a great GM. The Broncos do not have a great GM. And George Payton, they have a great scout who's masquerading as a GM right now. Sean Payton will fix that. Probably Kai Harley from New Orleans, the assistant GM to Mickey Loomis. I would imagine if there's any change to the front office, you have a couple of changes coming this year for the Broncos after the season's over, which honestly, I said it on Denver Sports Tonight, which I know you guys were listening to. The Broncos are a legit contender. Outside of the Ravens and the Cowboys, and I genuflect to the Eagles, there's really no team they can't hang with. So, yeah, you can say Broncos and Super Bowl in the same sentence and not sound crazy, because everyone's like pussyfooting around the playoff talk, like, and if they beat the Lions, and if they... Lions suck, okay? The Lions are a one-armed team, basically. You can win against the Lions. You can win 11 games. You can go to the playoffs. You can be a hard out in the playoffs. And if you make the dance, you can go all the way. Unless you play Baltimore in Baltimore. But anyway, like...
If they are a wild card team and I get to watch them in early January in Las Vegas, I will be...
That's exciting,
That's all you care about. You just want them to play
I want them to play in Vegas.
I don't know if you recall this. You would remember saying this in general, but when that first year Peyton Manning, when they had that horrendous game against the Ravens, before that game, you said, I think they could go all the way. And I think if they had not hit that stumbling block, they probably would have.
They were the best team in the league.
Right? Yeah, that year.
And that was the best Peyton Manning team.
Yes.
2013 was the best offense. 2015 was the best defense. But that 2012 team, they had it all. They could run the ball. They had special teams with Trenton Holiday, because that's all he could do. And it was always like, is he going to score or is he going to fumble? Is he going to score or is he going to fumble? I don't know. But like that 2012 team was legit. They were fun.
That's awesome.
They were fun. And 37 seconds left, they took a knee? Is that the something like that?
Yes.
Which was not Peyton
Manning's call.
That was when the day I decided that I wasn't going to let sports ruin my day anymore, that game. And I was so devastated by that ending of that game that I was like, I can't feel this way anymore, so I'm not going to.
And a week after that game, it was 60 degrees. I was at Red Rocks, and I was like, why couldn't this happen last week? Peyton Manning couldn't feel his hand. It's 13 below.
It's awesome. See, that's the beauty of sports, right? You see? That's how we suffer. Chiefs fans, they're acting like they haven't been there before. And they've been there before. They've been there twice. Act like it, Chiefs fans. Give me a fucking break. Jesus. Anyway, we got plenty to talk about. We're going to get into the second half right now. Let me your steel bearing hat. So I'm ready to join the throne. My mobility got some mad. Oh, I can't talk for my side. Blood sad. Low away. 7 years. Got a sword.
All right, so I wrote a jingle for the scooter shop. So it goes like this. Scoot on over to Sportique Transportation that's unique. If it's sexy wheels that you seek, then you got to get a peek at Sportique.
Is that it?
That's it. Go.
Woo!
the fan.
Sports. Yeah, sports. We're talking sports.
Cool jingle, dude.
But first,
you like my jingle?
Yeah, I wish I like had some beats to it or something.
Yeah, I need a little something. I need something to back that with. So, before we get into more sports, we were just talking briefly about there's a conspiracy theory about lizard people infiltrating all
in
the
DIA.
Highest. Oh, I'm sorry. That's my other podcast.
Watch the Y Files on YouTube.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about that one a little bit later. So, yes, there's a lot of real good DIA merch out now. Have you seen it?
They're leaning into that.
Oh, they embrace it.
Well, there are people that are making it, and it said like, "May devils carry you on their wings to your destination."
Right.
it's so awesome.
Yeah.
And then they made this one, and they took the old Pistons logo. You know, the one with like the chess piece.
Yeah.
And they took that and it says Denver Airport. And then it has like 666 on the back and shit. Yeah, it's so awesome. It's very cool.
We must have the same exact algorithm on Instagram.
Like
probably. Yeah, yeah.
Because I see the same shit.
I think it's Good Shirts. I think that's who
it is.
So. We're talking about the Taylor Swift conspiracy theory. It's a controversy too, I guess. Cecil brought up that many people think that relationship between Taylor and Travis Kelce is not real. Elaborate for us, Cecil.
There's plenty of people around Kansas City that don't think that's real. I'm not going to tell you who says what, but like I talk to every team in the league, and yeah, there's people that say this is fake, this is made up. Again, it's not necessarily what I believe. But I could see it happening.
Why,
the NFL is a huge entity.
Oh,
they want to make money.
You get the
Swifties on board. Now they're buying Chiefs gear. Now they're watching the Super Bowl. Now they're doing all this. Plus, let me just say this, and we'll go there because we can go there.
Yeah, do it.
You think they're talking politics? You think, and I won't go Aaron Rodgers, you know, calling him Mr. Pfizer, but do you really think Travis Kelce believes that? You really think that's where he goes? Like, knowing his background, knowing who his best friend is, do we really think that those two are having connections? I mean, maybe.
So you're saying, and I will paraphrase, that he's too dumb to have a conversation with someone who is as savvy as she is. Is that
she is incredibly savvy,
person, very smart person.
Like, and she is, in my opinion, more powerful than the NFL. So the NFL, who pretty much anything the NFL promotes is fake. Like, when I learned, it was very disheartening as someone with family in the military, when I learned that they had the military pay them to do the salute to service month, I said this on the air one time, like, it disgusts me when they're like, support our troops, buy the jerseys that the players wear during salute to service month. I'm like, wait a second, what?
And the U.S. taxpayers are actually paying
pretty
them.
Much anything that the NFL promotes. Like, remember
my cleats.
When D'Angelo Williams got fined by the league because he was wearing cancer-colored socks for his mother who had breast cancer, whatever the breast cancer color is. It's pink, right?
Yeah,
Susan
G.
Komen. Mm-hmm. So he was doing stuff on his cleats, and the NFL was fining him because it wasn't the uniform policy. And then they're like, wait a second, we can make money. Hey, we love, hey, everyone, F cancer or whatever. Like, so they take all these good causes that we should be supporting, right? And then they just corrupt them because they're a huge corporation. So, you know, if we look into the celebrity side of it, they're two good-looking celebrities probably having fun and having relationships, whatever. That's fine. But do you really think that's the way it goes with him and her? And how could you have a relationship with someone that you are opposite of, like, completely
Let me jump in here. And Colin, Colin is a big Swiftie. I don't know if you knew that. He's a big Swiftie. He's really into
the
it.
The people that fight against Taylor Swift, I think, are the dumbest people
ever.
Oh,
yeah. It's totally
stupid. It's annoying.
It's totally dumb. She's a force of nature. And if you can't respect that and you're like, complain about it, you're just pissing in the wind.
Go listen to your, you know, Led Zeppelin or whatever. Yeah. Like, get off my lawn. So if you're a Swiftie, then
I
salute you.
I don't listen to it. It's not my bag, but I think she's great. Colin listens to it. He does a lot of things to it, I think. You remember he's showering to you? And guess what he's doing to listen to
Swift? I'm showering to you because of, never mind.
So here's my theory. she has been with all these weaselly fucking dudes that have been like
Jonas Brothers or whatever.
Yeah, like fucking the guy from that British band who like everyone's like, that guy's a racist, and he's like just the shit bag. And kind of these like kind of like little skinny like actor guys, right?
Yeah.
So here comes along big old fucking lunkhead Travis Kelce, unlike anybody that she's dated, right?
Right.
Probably like, this guy's fucking great. He's a fucking big dude. He's awesome. He's a good-looking guy. He's kind of simple, but you know what? I can work with that. I think that's going. Colin, do you agree or disagree?
Well, I do agree with you, and I also think that Taylor would not do that to her fans. Taylor. I honestly believe it.
The best argument for it.
I don't think she would fake it for her fans
because she's
very sincere with the fan base and. I think that she just fucking likes
Travis
Kelce.
The NFL eats this shit up. Do you know that the Super Bowl halftime performers pay the NFL?
Yes. She won't do it.
She won't do it. She doesn't need to do it.
She's like, fuck you. You're paying me. You know? Right. So I think you're definitely right. The NFL has fucking taken it and run with it.
Yeah.
I think the relationship's probably legit, but it's certainly played up. Like, didn't Al Michaels just get like kind of released from doing Thursday Night Football because they said he complained about Taylor Swift? Like, he just got bounced from it, right?
No.
Yeah, just
he
today.
He was on, oh, really?
Just today.
Just today?
They said
they bounced
him. He was checked out.
Well, like, he's kind of checked out, right? Yeah. He's not really.
And on that note, I think Kirk Herbstreit has been fantastic.
Yes.
I really do.
But Michaels has just been kind of like, everyone said, oh, yeah, he really doesn't have the kind of the vigor for it.
He's a little Biden-y.
Well, he basically was like, there was a thing where they had like a chef and he was making this sandwich and he put it together and they brought it up to him and he went, I'm not touching that.
I was watching.
And I was like, hey, you could just say, hey, thanks, buddy. We'll get to that later. And be like, whatever. I think he's a little crotchety. I guess he complained about Taylor Swift. He did. He said something like, I don't want to have him watch that anymore. I don't care. Which a lot of people have that sentiment, right? They're like, I don't care. Dude, the cutaway to her, who cares? If I'm not missing a fucking play, I don't care. You show Taylor Swift. She's perfectly
better
like,
than
nice
that
to look
bitch
at.
Brittany Mahomes.
Oh, yeah. I totally prefer Taylor.
Where did we end up on this? So the relationship is fake, but the copulation is real?
No.
Or the copulation is real? No. And which one's real?
I think we all think that is all real.
But the NFL's
interest in it is gross and
yes. Yeah, because the NFL is a gross corporation. But I will say this, there are people around Kansas City that have to deal with all that stuff at the stadium that are pretty sick of it.
Because she's probably a lot to have her come in, the security.
Well,
and
it's like the Super Bowl times 100, you know what I mean? So like there's a lot of extra steps that you have to take that... Well, it's complicating for things, and there are things that are a little too convenient. They leave in a convertible. Come on. What's done for photo ops and what's real? I hope she's happy. I give a damn about Travis, but like, I hope she's happy because again, she makes good music and she's cool.
Listen, I want him to retire. I want him to be happy and go, you know what? I'm going to stop playing football. I want him to fuck off is what I want. I want him to fuck off.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, because you know what? If he just got the fuck out, that'd be great. I hope she's put that in his head that, hey, you know what? Maybe you should just come on tour with me and not play football.
So he has not been playing as well since the relationship, right? Yeah. This is like a real thing.
Oh, don't Yoko on her.
He's been good. He's been good. Like the last couple of games, maybe not as much, but again, they're a one-arm team.
They've got one weapon.
Triple team Travis Kelce, and then
the rest of those guys are clowns. Yeah, so
Kadarius.
So I've got the story straightened out. Al Michaels has not been removed from Thursday Night Football. He will not cover the playoffs for NBC. So he was slated to, and
expect him to be dead by then?
They're replacing him with Noah Eagle. Age 26.
Noted Taylor Swift.
He's 79 years old.
That's Ian Eagle's son, right?
And is it? Ian Eagle's fucking amazing.
I think they're both pretty good, right? I think they're decent. So, very cool. Speaking of broadcasting, just came to me. Obviously, football is pretty readily available. What do you think about the fact that you can't watch, like, the two teams in Denver that are fucking like the best teams, you know, the Broncos haven't been good. Has that just dragged on way too fucking long? And do you think there's a resolution to it?
Well, here's the thing. It got so tiresome that I'm not saying I'm told not to talk about it publicly, but I probably shouldn't make fun of it because it is something that I would regularly make fun of. Like, it's embarrassing.
It's totally embarrassing.
It's absolutely embarrassing that you would go through this. I asked someone who was from L.A. about, you know, like, what's Kroenke thought of by Rams fans? And, like, they don't even think about him. Like, the Rams fans, they don't care about football. They don't care about anything. But, like, here, and in St. Louis, like, people hate Stan Kroenke. But, like, here, I just think it's pathetic. It's sad. Yes, there are other ways. But let me tell you this. Money's tight. Do I want to pay another $60 for Fubo or whatever the hell I got to get so I can watch Avs and Nuggets? And being just there on Friday night for the Rockets game, sell that place out, man. Like, come on. They are the world champions. You are seeing one of the best players to ever play in the history of the game. Why isn't it sell out every night? Like, you could get tickets in the upper bowl for like $18, and there's not a bad seat in that house. Ball Arena is a great house. Avs games you can't get tickets to. But no. Nuggets games you can still get tickets to on the day of. Like, come on, man. So the TV thing notwithstanding, and certainly, like, just from a radio standpoint, and I think Andy Lindahl put it best, and Andy is a dear friend. I'm on the air because of two people, Mark Schlereth and Andy Lindahl. When Andy said it, because Altitude, for the first time, KSE had beat us in one of the books for the first time ever. And as someone who had fought against the fan when I was on ESPN Denver, we wouldn't move the needle. Like, we'd get a 0.7. Me and Kreckman out there fighting, we'd get like a 0.7. We'd be like, woo, it's almost a one. And KSE was able to beat the fan, juggernaut fan. And Andy put it best. He said, you know, I'm definitely not going to overstate this. I'm paraphrasing. But these type of moments you enjoy. Like, it came together. It was a special moment. You got the Avs championship level, Nuggets championship level, and dynasty level, honestly. They're like the Spurs. It's harder to build. It's easier to maintain. So you have this, like, perfect storm. You've got a great lineup with people like Kreckman, like Andy, you know, that are proving you don't necessarily need the athlete model to get it done. When you have good ones, that makes it better. But, like, what they're doing, the book they had, all the success they've had, I'm happy for them. Honestly, from a, like, a personal standpoint and all that, like, to have good competition, it's good for everybody.
Sure.
And for KSE, like, the TV notwithstanding, which is frustrating for fans and just stupid at this point. But, like, from the radio side, to have them put up a fight, to have them have a better book than the fan, like, that's a big deal. That's a note, man. Like, there's been a lot of hubris with us for years and years and years. I would come in here and be like, it's the fan. What, you know, we're the king. Well, King took one on the chin from KSE, so I give him credit for that.
And I want to bring up something specific from the past. And I'm talking the long past, the distant past.
Yeah.
You said... you told me that being at Mile High Sports was a death knell for your career. Absolute death knell for your career.
Yes.
Now, over at the Fan, you've got Marilat. You've got Will Peterson. And you've got
Josh Dover
and the Judge.
Dan was with the Fan before Mile High Sports.
Well, okay. But still, he was at Mile High Sports.
He was like
Urban
Joe's producer. So.
So there's a big Mile High Sports present. And I'm happy for all those people.
Come on. That's just people advancing their careers, right?
Yeah,
but they didn't go straight from MHS to the Fan.
Dover did.
No, he went to Altitude.
Oh, he went to Altitude. Yeah. So we brought him up earlier. You talked about him earlier. D-Mac, now at Altitude.
Right.
As a listener, I got to tell you, I have really been enjoying that. Now, I don't understand why they don't have him in drive time. That's weird to me. But they'd have to bump Kreckman off drive time. But I have really enjoyed him and Hastings together. I have really, really enjoyed that.
And Scotty brought me to the Fan in 2007. So I love Scott Hastings. Like, love him like a brother. And obviously close with Andy. Who was Mark Schler's producer on 760 The Zone, the hat that you have, 760
The Zone,
Drive Time Sports.
Where's that hat?
Yeah, David Diaz Infante and Mark Schler. So, like, I have a ton of appreciation for those guys. I haven't listened, but I know how him and Tyler sounded, and I enjoyed. I would always tell Tyler, like, if you're a little madder at DMAC, it's better radio because it'll just bring it out of him, right? And DMAC is a lot. he's a lot. And so there's people that'll be intimidated sitting next to him. And I'm not saying Tyler was intimidated or is intimidated, but
certainly
like,
Scott's not.
Oh, God, no. Scotty's in DGF mode of the career, right? Where he's just like, I'm going to be me and I'm a bad
boy.
Say whatever I want. And you're just going to deal with it. And that's why I love Scotty. But with D-Mac, like, I always felt Tyler, if he was like angry Tyler, that was really good radio. So, and through all these changes, I'll just say, like, on a personal level, I wish everyone the best. And I miss, I always talk about my fan family. You know, I have a family, which I care about, and you know, my personal family. And then I have my fan family, my career family. And I love our brand. I love what we represent. I love all the history and the stories of Irvin Joe.
You always wanted to be a part of it.
I you know, and maybe that's bad for negotiations, but like, I don't want to leave the fan. You know what I mean? That's where I wanted to be when ESPN Denver collapsed. I said, I'm going back to the fan. I had other offers from even Mile High Sports, Eric Goodman specifically. Goody won't be mad if I say that. And I was like, no, I'm going back to the fan. And I did. And, you know, now working with Denver Sports, being at the forefront of the digital presence in that world, like, it's really exhilarating. The success we're having there is exhilarating. Plus, you know, still being a part of the radio, even though I'm a digital employee now, like, it's still really fun. And I miss all of our guys that have worked with us throughout the years. And I'm excited about our new guys. I think Philip Lindsay, you know, we can get into what people think of him, what people don't think of him. The first thing Phil told me, he said, Cecil, I want you to be as hard on me on this as you were when I played. Because Phil's sister did not like me because I was critical. After Phil's rookie year, I was like, he peaked. You know, he can't catch. And he peaked. And he did after his rookie year. But Phil is open for that. So I enjoy and invigorated by that. Having Josh come on board, like, he's been a breath of fresh air.
Dover's
and
a
what
great
he
guy.
Can bring to the table for our brand again. And, of course, Schlereth and Evans are just like the gold standard and they're the kings, right? So it's like having that strengthened unit, still feeling bad that we had to move on from people. But it's the business, dudes. I've been at this is my 20th year on air.
That's
it's my 20th year on air. I've seen so many people come and go. I've seen brands change and all that. You know,
it's like the weather in Denver. If you don't like it, just wait.
Right, just wait, and it'll change. And guess what? People love Stokely and Zach. Well, you're gonna love Phil and Zach too. You just give them time, and you know, let Phil get used to things.
Hearing you talk about all of this reminds me a lot of our conversation a couple weeks ago with Brandon Spano. He's like, listen, we're not competing with each other. We're competing with other ideas. We're competing with other interests. Mm-hmm. If we're all contributing to the interest that is sports in Denver, Colorado, then we're all on the same fucking team. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason for us to view it as competition.
And speaking of Mile High Sports, where did Brandon Spano come from?
Mile High Sports.
And Spano had an incredible idea to start BSN. Totally wasn't named after him.
Brandon Spano Network.
Brandon, I'm kidding. They get all mad. But like, no, to start that brand and to have that imprint, it's a fantastic idea that has grown around the country. And guess what you're going to see now? You're going to see, and I remember, y'all remember when radio station's website was like babe of the day and it was just like garbage website you would never go to?
Yeah.
Now at denversports.com, I believe we're number two in traffic to denverbroncos.com. Like, just to have that impact that high in the Denver sports scene in that short a time, it shows a lot of the work and a lot of the emphasis that we put on that as a company to build that brand and just have it keep going gangbusters.
I was hoping we get into the media stuff a little later because now we got to take a break. But table that. If you got
we
some
can get
more,
back to it.
Yeah, we can get back to it. Let's get into the fourth quarter. One of the funny things, when I said you're a Steelers fan, Cecil, and you don't make, you know, everyone knows that you're a Steelers fan. When Spano sat here and I said, you know, you're a well-known Chiefs fan, Spano, and he kind of went. and he kind of like looked at me like, what the fuck, dude? And I was like, everybody knows you're a Chiefs fan, and I was like, "Oh, I guess people forget that." So, he's a big Chiefs fan. Everybody,
he really is.
Yeah, he really is. So.
And a Travis Kelce fan.
A big Travis Kelce fan. So, hey, let's get in the fourth quarter. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
it's difficult to keep track of world events while you're facing your fantasy football playoffs. That's why we introduce Headlines to Yardlines. Bloody diarrhea, jaundice, and hepatitis are just some of the diseases spreading in the Gaza Strip, where the World Health Organization says the health system is on its knees and collapsing. Much like Las Vegas Raiders running back Josh Jacobs, who exited the game against Minnesota and did not return. Atlanta police on Friday were trying to determine why an Alabama woman attempted to set fire to the childhood home of civil rights leader Martin Luther King. And QB Desmond Ridder will attempt to ignite whiteout Drake London again this week as the Falcons face the questionable Panthers secondary. A suicide squad drove an explosive-laden truck into a military camp in northwest Pakistan on Tuesday, killing at least 23. Christian McCaffrey will also look to blow up the Arizona Cardinals defense in Week 15. Russian opposition politician Alexei Navalny has gone missing from the penal colony where he has been since the middle of last year. His whereabouts are unknown. Also, Buffalo wide receiver Stephon Diggs has seemingly disappeared, having scored fewer than 7 PPR points in the last 3 games.
Stephon.
The United States is concerned about reports Israel used white phosphorus in an October attack in southern Lebanon, the White House said on Monday. And Detroit Lions tight end Sam Laporta also severely burned thousands of people with just 2 catches for 23 yards. Nigeria's president called for a thorough investigation into the military drone attack that killed at least 85 people this last weekend as Brock Purdy's aerial assault continues and he strikes downfield with deadly accuracy. Fight fire with fire, Cecil!
Beautiful. What a riff, man. I think Ride the Lightning's the best Metallica. What do you think's the best Metallica?
I got Master of Puppets as the best Metallica album. There's more on it. Ride the Lightning's a short album.
I agree.
I can go with that, yeah.
Master of Puppets is great.
Now, this is from the self-titled album.
This is from the first album.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kill them off.
1984.
Master of Puppets is great, but that's like the consensus. That's like...
I think it's the best.
Were you offended when Metallica had their first music video? Because I was. It was To One. And that's when people like, they sold out. No, the Black Album, they sold out. Stadiums, but like, no. And Justice for All, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with And Justice for All. And even the Black Album's full of hits. But like Master of Puppets. And I played Am I Evil for, I think, my English class. We were writing a report in high school about like playing guitar. So I brought my amp in on my electric guitar, and I played Am I Evil.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Love Metallica. I mean, yeah, they're great. They kind of – we were talking, I think, during the break about their movie and their guru, their self-help guru, and how they fucking got taken for a ride by – it's very, very, very comical, but not for them. I mean, they had plenty of money. I guess they could spend whatever that guy was making a day. They were, like, paying him, like, $15,000 a day or something. I was like, dude, good work if you can find it.
I had an assignment in high school where I was supposed to bring in a poem. We were all supposed to bring in a poem. And I read The Fool on the Hill by the Beatles. And someone spoke up, that's not a poem, it's a song. Like, what the fuck do you think a song is, you dumb bitch?
It's essentially a poem, yeah. So,
I made my English class listen to Rime of the Ancient Mariner by Iron Maiden, which is 20 minutes long. Took up almost all of class.
I'm sure Genius everybody was very, very happy with you for that.
The Beatles, and we'll get off this real quick, but I think the Master of Puppets being the best Metallica album is like people saying John Lennon's their favorite Beatle. Because people go, oh, John Lennon's my favorite Beatle. And you're like, well, you know, George Harrison's probably the best Beatle, right? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, I disagree wholeheartedly.
You think John Lennon's the best Beatle?
I would go Paul or John before George. Easily.
No way. Look at their post-career, post-Beatles output.
Well, that would be Paul, like.
I'm sure. Paul's an unpopular choice. John is a very popular choice. That's what I'm saying. All great.
That's why I shot him.
John Lennon's great, and Master of Puppets is great, but still not.
I don't know. Master's, okay. I think it's.
You're a Ringo guy, aren't you?
A big Ringo guy.
My daughter is kind of weirdly, but I think it's just a contrarian thing that she
into
does.
Ringo.
Yeah, she's
Ringo's
so into
very
Ringo.
Talented though. Ringo's got some good stuff. So we can do it. Yeah. Let's talk Broncos, but at first I want to talk about the Peeners. The Peeners, the Walton Peeners, are the owners of the Broncos. And
yes.
Do you think obviously they've got enough money to spend. Everyone's like, oh, they're going to spend enough money to make the problem go away. You can only spend so much in the NFL. Granted, they're going to build a wonderful facility. Do you think they have it to get the team back on course? And do you think they have it to, obviously they can spend enough, but do you think they have it in them to get them back to an elite level and keep them there?
Well, let's talk about ownership. And before I get there, I had a message on Twitter from Brian, yes, that Brian, that says, and who loves the Avs, by the way, huge Avs fan. Disappointed you do not say KSE propaganda outlet on the South Sands Denver podcast. Fans are mad, but ownership matters. Dave wow. Tepper with the Carolina Panthers has gotten in the way multiple times. First off, North Turner leaves Carolina because he was forced to play Will Greer. He's like, I'm not going to play Will Greer. Dave Tepper's like, play Will Greer. So if you have a billionaire that's like, I'm the smartest person in the world,
yeah,
like Dave Tepper, like Jerry Jones, that's awful for your team. Dan Snyder, awful for your team. I see Greg Penner multiple times a week learning from Sean Payton. I see Greg Penner like absorbing from Sean Payton, not running it, not saying you got to draft him, you got to do this, drop this guy, play this guy, don't do this, don't do that, but learning. And the favor that they did for you, you asked the question about the Walton Penner Group, I will answer it succinctly. The favor they did for you in firing Nathaniel Hackett in season, one of the most rare moves that we see in the NFL, shows you all you need to know about that ownership group. They're not fucking around, okay?
So you think Greg Penner is actually involved?
Yes.
Directly.
I see him multiple
times
a week.
So he's an owner. Because that's one of my fears I have, is that an ownership group doesn't contain an owner. So you're telling me there is somebody actively...
This is a group in name only. I mean, and obviously investment and all those sorts of things, Condoleezza or whatever.
But like, they trust him to be Greg, the acting owner of the team.
And he's not getting in the way. Instead, learning.
His inexperience maybe is a benefit because he's not like, I know how to do this, right?
Well, and I got, I love when I say something and it hits a nerve. When I said that the Walton Penner Group will be a dynasty. And so people misconstrued that and said, you said Russell Wilson's going to be a dynasty. Russell Wilson ain't going to be here next year, okay?
Oh, yeah, we're not talking about that.
But this team, it's Walmart money. You think Walmart is failing? Like, they know how to build a business. They're going to know how to build this team. And they're going to know the rich tradition of the Denver Broncos, which is to be Super Bowl contenders on damn near a yearly basis. The dynasty will happen. It might happen with Sean Payton. But it damn sure will happen with the Walton Penner Group. They're not, moving on from them or using them as part of their portfolio. All that was a concern before the purchase, and I could see why. Like, do they really care about the Broncos, or are they just using them as part of their portfolio? Greg Penner specifically, because I see him so much, I know that guy cares, and I know that guy knows business. So, guy that cares, that's letting the football people do football things, guy that knows business and knows how to make a successful business, when you marry the two, it does equal dynasty.
That was my main thing. I said he doesn't care. He would just been just as happy owning the Washington Commanders than he would the Denver Broncos. Probably true. He didn't care. He was like, I want a team.
They waited for this team specifically. They waited. They had this plan about 10 years ago. They waited for this team specifically to come up.
All right. I will right. buy that from you, Cecil.
Okay, Cecil. We know like Sean Payton wasn't their first choice, right? It's kind of
D'Amico Ryans was their choice.
Did he end up being the best choice?
We'll have to see on D'Amico Ryans, so I can't necessarily answer that right now. But I'll say this about Sean Payton, because we've already seen like what, 3 seasons in 1 season? Yeah. And there was a time when they were 1-5, I was telling people in the media room, like, I'm going to ask him if he's happy. Like, I'm going to get the balls to ask him if he's happy, because, like, I just wanted to know, like, are you happy you left TV? It's a pretty cush gig. I wouldn't say that part. But, like, now, and you see it, and I give credit to those guys. I've been in that locker room when it's divided, and Wade Phillips was making his defense be like, that offense sucks, and then denying it publicly. Like, no, that locker room was divided. They act the same way at 7-6 as they did at 1-5. I'll be in that locker room tomorrow. I guarantee the guys will act the same they did when they got beat by the Dolphins as they do now, as they're hot and they're rolling, hottest team in the league, legit contender. And that says a lot about coaching, the message from Sean Payton. How many times does Sigmund say teams take on the personality of their head coach or their quarterback? Their quarterback doesn't have a personality, so they're taking on the personality of Sean Payton, which is old school.
One of the media members that I spend a lot of time following and listening to and playing their YouTube videos is Colin Cowherd, and he's a huge fan of Sean Payton.
Yeah, they're buddies.
Huge fan, yeah.
You brought up the quarterback with no personality. You said he's not going to be here. Are you sure he's not going to be
here? He's not running Sean Payton's system. So I'll ask you this. You all know Sean Payton well enough. You know his game.
Sure.
You know his ego. Coach's ego are larger than the player's ego. Do you think he wants an offense that he's got to cover for his quarterback? They're running one of the most basic. I compared it on the Audible, I think, to rookie Ben Roethlisberger. And then what's funny is maybe a week or two, and I felt uncomfortable when I said that and when I first started saying that on The Fan. Like, I chart plays for every team. This isn't the Sean Payton offense at all. There's no sail concepts. There's no slant routes. Jerry Jeudy should be a slant god the way Amari Cooper is for the Browns, right? Just slant. Easy. Easy money. Easy money. Easy money. Refs can't see the middle of the field. So I'll ask you guys, and you can answer it for yourselves. If you're a super egotistical Super Bowl winning champion head coach Sean Payton, would you want a quarterback that cannot physically run your offense, or would you look somewhere else?
Well, I will say this. He has managed to make some really explosive plays, particularly with Cortland Sutton. No, he's not connecting with Jerry Jeudy.
Not at all.
But with Cortland Sutton, he has the two longest passes in the air in the NFL this entire season to Cortland Sutton. And that guy is becoming a superstar.
Okay, but if he's not the answer, then who is? And I know that's open-ended, but what's your best guess?
I think it's a rookie next year. I think it's Jaden Daniels. I think, and I've heard they like Michael Penix, whatever. Like, as I get further in the draft world in January, I'll have my finger on that. And what's funny is, and Denver's got really good scouts. They don't talk. So if anyone's saying, like, I talked to Denver scouts, they're lying. And there's a lot of lying in the media when it comes to that. Who is this? Carissa Thompson or
Carissa
whatever?
Carissa Thompson, yeah.
That happens all the time.
And you know what? Now I don't believe a fucking word she says. I don't believe a word she says. She could tell me that...
The car's going to hit you, Colin. Look out. Look out.
Shut up.
Herbert broke his finger. I'll be like, yeah, all right, bitch.
But it's multiple people that do that. But what's cool about...
Yeah, she was just the only one that... Really to admit openly it, admit right. it. Yeah.
What's cool is other teams will tell you what that team is thinking. So, like, when I talk about Broncos information, I'm not talking to the Broncos. I'm talking to people that talk to the Broncos, and it's fun what you can learn. So I'll learn who they're after. But I think, honestly, and I misspoke saying they're going to be Russ next year. It's probably going to be Russ and a rookie. When you see him renegotiate his deal, that's your canary in the coal mine to know, like, something's coming. Trade. Something's coming. Once he reworks that deal, something's
because
coming.
What otherwise do they have? What other option do they have?
They don't.
They don't have any other
options.
Yeah. So
nope.
But what if he doesn't? He doesn't restructure?
If he says maybe no, try to get like a Tyler Huntley or something on a sweetheart deal. Tyler Huntley's an unrestricted free agent next year. So and we've seen him start some games for Baltimore and look pretty good. You need someone that can run Sean Payton's system. I'm sure he doesn't, because it was the Mike Sando article in The Athletic where the unnamed defensive coordinator said they're treating him like a rookie, because they are.
Has there ever been – can you recall another season where more unexpected things happened at the quarterback position, and more people shined who nobody expected could shine.
I saw Tommy DeVito.
Joe Flacco, for example.
Right. I saw Tommy DeVito at the Shrine game this last year, and I was like, that guy's garbage. Absolute garbage. And he's playing. He's making plays. Now, when I saw Brock Purdy, Purdy and Skylar Thompson 2 years ago were guys that I liked at that Shrine Bowl. And
Purdy might be the
And
the
talking
MVP.
To Purdy, he thought he was done playing. Talked to him for an hour. He's like, this is it for me. Wow. Like, I'm just enjoying this week, and this is it. And now he's like
Dude's the on top of the world. Of the league.
Right, right. So, like, it's interesting, and I'm glad you bring that up, because what that is creating is a panic. There's also the NIL deals. I think your Dak Prescott is done. I think your Kirk Cousins is done, because do you want, and those are both seniors, but like, let's say you're a mid-round junior quarterback. You want to come out, or you want to stay at Michigan State and still make $7 million a year in NIL? So this is going to create pressure on scouts to either get the guy in the first round or get lucky with some Brock Purdy in the seventh round. The mid-round, like, hey, we found a guy, khaki pants, right? That's done. That is done. And because these guys, like, you're getting guys that get second chances or more chances or other chances or different chances, it is creating this, like, is Josh Jobs good? Okay, wait, he's not good. Is Joe Flacco good? Okay, wait, he's not good. But Joe Flacco needs one more touchdown to have as many as Kenny Pickett, who was a first-round pick a year ago. Kenny Pickett's Derek Carr,
amazing.
If he works out.
It is really an interesting time at the quarterback position. And there's this huge changing of the guard at that position, certainly more than I can ever recall. With young guys coming into the league, mm-hmm. It's going to be a really fun next
But
decade.
We needed this because we had Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, right?
Sure.
When we had those guys for decades, it seemed like it pretty much was. And the league would suffer, and Mark Cuban would be right, fat pigs get slaughtered, if they didn't have good quarterback play. If we were, who watches USFL? Maybe I do. Who watches XFL? Maybe I do. But like, that's because I'm a freak. Like the general audience, if you're not seeing great quarterback play, this game is not interesting, especially because they're taking the physicality away.
This is a Broncos show. So what's the path for the Broncos to get there this year? You said they're contenders.
Somebody beat Baltimore in the playoffs and then go to the Super Bowl.
Well, I was going
to
say, they got to win, obviously. But is that it? Is that they got to get past Baltimore?
Well, here's the great thing about the Broncos. They haven't played their best football. It's not even close. Not even close. They're probably in their best game, probably about 75% of their potential.
Yeah.
Because what if that
Jerry
turns
Judy
up?
Has a lot to do with
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Jerry Judy. They don't seem to, the running game doesn't seem to quite be there yet. I think mm-hmm. if that ramped up a little bit. But, I mean,
disappointed in George Payton. Why didn't you go get Leonard Fournette? You know, why didn't you get someone that you could in December? Hey, Leonard, we got to give you 20 carries this week. Okay. Like, why didn't you go do that? Why isn't that an emphasis for this team? Because Javonte's not quite himself. Jaleel did a better job in this last game in keeping his feet, but he usually loses his balance. He's not Philip Lindsay. And I'm the one saying, like, he's like Philip Lindsay. No, Phil kept his balance. And Samaje is a little bit banged up, and he's, you know, a receiving back and a power back that's, you know, 3.9 a carry.
But that's it, though, right? You think Baltimore's the thing? What about
Baltimore's
the
creme de la creme?
You don't. The Chiefs are done. You don't think they have the horses to get there?
Anything can happen.
Sure.
And Rashee Rice is getting better as the season goes on. What's the status? What was it? Justin Ross, who was suspended by that team that's just coming back.
Oh yeah, I can't. Think
it wasn't
of
Justin Ross. Maybe it was Justin Ross. Anyway, but like they've got some playmakers that are. Denerick Prince is still there. If they wanted to get away from Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Jerick McKinnon, like Denerick Prince is there as an under-the-radar prospect. So they've got some guys, and they'll figure out they're well-coached. A well-coached team with Pat Mahomes, that's dangerous.
Sure.
But the Broncos are well-coached with a suffocating defense, and that's why the changes I talked about in the offseason could be Vance Joseph gets a head coaching job, and then George Payton gets fired.
They Vance were Joseph. So badass defensively this week against the Chargers. I want to ask you about this. What the fuck with the Chargers in L.A.? I mean, that nobody gives a shit. I mean, you mentioned the Rams fans don't care.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams fans care like 10 times as much.
They won a Super Bowl
as the Chargers fans do. I mean, they don't have any fucking fans. I joked about this in the questions read. What what the fuck? And is there any way to get for them to get out of this situation?
There might be a way if the NFL owners decide like the Spanos aren't, you're not up to snuff. One, you're cheap. Two, you're poor in NFL standards. So it's like, we're going to kind of force you to sell that team. That is way down the line, though. Way down the line.
And go back to San Diego?
That's what they should do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Go back to San Diego and, you know, build a proper stadium, have the funds to be able to do that. And maybe as more NFL franchises become kind of playthings for the billionaire crowd, maybe that happens. But I think we're years away from that.
But do you agree with me that this is not sustainable? Two teams in LA is not sustainable.
It's embarrassing.
Totally embarrassing.
Half of LA, they're still Raiders fans. I mean,
so
like,
what
truly.
You'll need is you'll need a Birmingham or somebody. You'll need pressure from another city. Like St. Louis was pressured out of their team, or Cleveland was pressured out of their team by Baltimore. Like, you'll need someone that's legit. I don't know. It's probably not London, but, you know, something where it's like, oh, this team, oh, they're going to get a city. Oh, they got a package together. Something like that, that kind of. They always used L.A. to scare teams. Hey, well, if you don't get us a new stadium, we'll just move to L.A. Now they have two teams in L.A.,
yeah,
so they need that leverage piece.
Speaking of this, and this will be the last thing on my notes I scratch off, this is happening. Mark Cuban just sold – we brought this up on the last show. I got a text. Mark Cuban just sold a big chunk of the Mavs to – a group out of Las Vegas who are casino magnates. Mm-hmm. And it seems very apparent to me that they are the next Las Vegas team. And you think about it, the name, the Mavericks name matches up with Las Vegas perfectly. They've got an arena where they're playing hockey, where the Golden Knights are
nice
playing
arena.
Hockey.
Yeah,
beautiful arena, T-Mobile Arena right there in the thick of the thick of everything. I think that's what's happening. I think the Mavericks are heading to Vegas, and then they're going to have NFL. They just got the A's. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a four sport.
So you
town.
Think the Chargers are going to go to Las Vegas too? So there's going to be two teams in Las Vegas.
That'd be so great if they also went to Las Vegas.
No,
it'd be terrible.
I don't think so. The Chargers and the Raiders in the same stadium.
Here's the dangerous thing: as we talk about gambling or everything like that, and I've said this before, probably on the Audible. It might have been on the Fan. I talk a lot anyway. You have to be very careful if you are the league. The refs suck, right? Oh, the refs suck. There are so many plays where it's like, you didn't need to kick that field goal. Why did you? Oh, the line.
Yeah.
Like, they need to be very cautious. There's almost, in a Hollywood way, where you have, like, a Dave Filoni looking over Star Wars, making sure the timeline stays with what the timeline said this 20 years ago. There just needs to be someone in the NFL is like, they have to be, so it's not obvious, like, oh, they did that for the line. Like, somebody's doing that for the line. And that's where money and corruption and corporations and all that come in.
Doesn't that change, though? Because every state pretty much has gambling at this point.
Well, it makes everybody dirty. Like, they're so in bed with Vegas. You guys remember, because you're fantasy players, remember the Tony Romo thing? He was going to have the Tony Romo, like, fantasy experience in Vegas at Caesars, and they made him stop. You can't do that. And this was, like, less than 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's not that long ago. Yeah.
We also didn't have, like, sports gambling on our phones back then.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It's things have changed.
The NFL's is something. Remember when they used to talk in code, like Brent Musburger?
Oh, yeah. Jimmy Musburger was great. Now he's on VSiN. Yeah,
he owns VSiN, right? Yeah. Doesn't he own
VSiN? Oh, is he the man?
I think so, yeah. Mike Pritchard works for VSiN, and they have fantastic
great.
Studios Dude, in Vegas.
Yeah, it's in the Circa.
They've got a
Circa,
studio
right?
at Circa. Yeah, yeah, they've got nice. One at the D also. Yeah, and nice. I love your station. I love Altitude. I listen to a fucking ton of VSiN. Okay. Because that's what I'm doing. I'm playing around with my phone. I'm making bets.
We got to get out of here. Once you mentioned Star Wars, I was like, I forgot to talk to Cecil about Star Wars and The Walking Dead. And maybe we can talk about that before you go, because we don't have time for that. But what I did want to say is, Cecil, make me feel better about my injury-riddled fantasy teams that didn't make the playoffs, because I fucking went all in on J.K. Dobbins. Mm-hmm. I had Justin Jefferson, who's been out for fucking most of the season. I was bound for glory, Cecil, and I had all these fucking injuries, and I just need to hear some words of encouragement.
Yeah, words of encouragement of you got buzzsawed, man, by the injury bug. And that's something you can deal with. At least you weren't making the decisions, dropping the one that got away. I remember Sigmund won a championship because of this, and I should not admit this, but I dumped Jamal Charles when they weren't using him in like the first 2 weeks of the season or whatever, and I just flat out dumped him.
Sigmund picked him up
and he had like 1,200 yards rushing. So Sigmund's on the bottom of his trophy, put my name. I was like, thanks, Sig. But anyway, so like, it's not an error like that. If you get buzzsawed by the injury bug and just say, the injury, you know, and then it's like a fishing story. We all have fishing stories, right? We're at the bar. What is it? The Brutal Poodle, right? We're all sitting around at the bar that's below us being like, I got an injury bug, right, guys?
Hey, I've been trying to say it, but you know what? There's a lot of uncaring people out there, and they don't want to hear it because they're marching on and they're leaving me in the dust. But
why don't you play in more leagues? And then I'm
fine. I'm good in a couple other ones, but the main one that I was trying to really, I was like, I got it down this year. I'm fucking in there. All those injuries.
Which
one's the main one for you?
The Platinum League. Yeah, the South Stands Platinum League. Yeah,
I made playoffs 3 out of 4.
You're in the playoffs 3 or 4?
3 out of 4, yeah.
That's good,
And I'm still alive in 2 guillotines.
Yeah, I'm not.
Cecil, have you played a guillotine yet?
Guillotine leagues are...
They're fucking awesome, right? aren't they?
They're almost too addicting. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like I always said about auctions. Like, once you do an auction, you're never going to do redraft. Although I still do redraft. Oh, but guillotine. It's like, why do I want to play any other way than guillotine?
It's so
much fun.
Thank
you, Paul Charchian.
Yeah, I just got bounced from the other guillotine this weekend because the Dolphins laid an egg. But, hey, that's what happens.
Oh, that's right. Tyreek Hill is going to be dead. Dead to all of us. Yep. We can't get him back.
I was just like smoking everybody. And then all of a sudden I was like, looks like it's my week to bow out. So we lost
Tyreek in that league and CMC in the other. Gone. Dead. Dead. Bye, CMC.
Oh, he's out because you can't pick him up.
He's done. You can't pick him up.
Anyway, I just needed to hear those words. Thank you, Cecil. I appreciate it. And we appreciate you coming in. This is awesome. It's great to catch up with you.
Yeah, man. It's been too long,
and that's why I was happy but also pissed because I want to see you guys.
Yep.
So, and I need to be number one.
We brought the show back.
On this show.
Just for you.
We go to the Brutal Poodle. We're gonna let you know.
Let's do that.
And we
win. It's fun. It's
good. I love the poodle, man.
Do you like it?
Food's great.
Oh yeah, food's real good. Yeah, we liked it. So we'll invite you along. We'll listen to some metal. We'll have a grand time.
So we've been playing a lot of metal.
Yeah.
Right. So I want to end the show with a non-metal. I want to end it with a Christmas song.
That's perfect.
But we lost someone in the last couple of weeks since we've been on, and I want to end it with a Christmas song.
Okay,
a non-metal song.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I know you
do. I was like, I was trying to get like Bronco Jeff to do a little show with me to talk about it, and see too much to cover. But Cecil, thank you for coming in. Please plug your comics, your company, everything you do.
Yeah, DenverSports.com is where you can watch Orange and Blue today, 3:30 p.m. Mountain Time, Monday through Friday, and check out all my work at SmokinGunComics.com.
Smoking Gun Comics. It's awesome. It's good. It looks awesome. Thank you again. It's a pleasure to see you again. We appreciate the time. This has been great, and we'll try to make sure it's not so long next time. It's beautiful. I love it. Shane McGowan, rest in peace, baby. This has been the South Stands Denver Fancast. Until next time, adios.
We love you, Denver!
Won't see another one. And then we sang a song, the rare old mountain tune. I turned my face away and dreamed about you. Got on a lucky one, came in 18-1. I've got a feeling this year's for me and you. So happy Christmas. I love you, baby. I can see a better time when all our dreams come true.
Queen of New York City.
When the band finished playing, they held out for more. Sinatra was swinging, all the junk they were singing. We kissed on the corner, then danced through the night.